Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So 5 years ago this week, comedy legend Gary Shandling passed away at age 66. It's all over social media this week. And during his career, he did stand-up, he wrote a feature film, created and starred in not one but two genre-defining TV series with It's Gary Shandling Show and The Larry Sanders Show. Early in his career, he wrote for shows like Sanford and Son and Welcome Back, Kotter. He also served as Johnny Carson's permanent substitute on The Tonight Show. Now, filmmaker Judd Apatow, whose long working relationship with Gary was explored in a documentary on HBO. It was called The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling back in 2018. It's now streaming on HBO Max. And I spoke to Judd about the legacy of Gary and his groundbreaking shows. And I'll share that conversation with you shortly. But first, here's a clip from Gary's first appearance on The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson, which airs on Antenna TV every weeknight. It was 40 years ago this year that he made his first appearance, back in 1981, along with a scene from the award-winning Larry Sanders Show.
This is a good night for a young comedian's first appearance on network television because the audience is in a good mood and things are really cooking. Gary is from Tucson, Arizona, appears regularly at the Comedy Store. Tucsoners? He appears at the Comedy Store in Hollywood and at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, California. As I said, this is his first time. So, make him feel well. Would you welcome Gary Shandling?
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, that's very nice. I'm so excited to be here. I had a great day. I went to the bank earlier today. Have you gotten your free pen yet? These are free. You just yank these things and they pop right out. I got a desk calendar, too. You need a screwdriver to change the numbers, but they're free. Then I went to the laundromat today because they have free clothes at the laundromat and picked up a few things. I love going to the laundromat because you see people wearing the last thing they want to wear. Have you ever noticed that? People are wearing Bermuda shorts and a Nehru jacket. I just don't want to see that. Then I had dinner tonight at a little restaurant. You know, when you go in a place and they say, sit down, we're going to call you when your table's ready, and you sit down and you listen for your name over some cheap speaker, you know, and you never hear your name. What you hear is, so, how are you two? So. Is that us? You go ask him, honey. You look stupid. You go up there and find him. Feel funny, honey, but you're dressed for it. Go on up there. What they should do is just describe the people, see? Then we'd know who they're talking about. They could just go, the couple with the ugly children, your table's ready? And we'd know it's these people over here. We're so sorry. You want to cover those kids up? We're going to try to eat here. Thank you very much. Is that a nuclear accident or what? My God. Okay, Hank, I'm sorry.
No, in fact, why don't you just laugh in my face? I mean, you might as well do it now. You and Artie do it every time I turn my back.
Mother was ill.
What about the time I chipped my tooth on the bathroom urinal? Huh? What the f*** is so comical about that?
It was a back tooth, Hank. I don't know how you did it.
Obviously, two groundbreaking shows on television he was behind as well, besides being a successful stand-up and really his dream of being on The Tonight Show and hosting The Tonight Show. Larry Sanders took him to a whole new level. I mean, I thought he was cool before. This was a super cool show, one of the best written shows, which I know you are a big part of. But that, you know, that I think plays a big role in how his comedy developed, how he developed as an actor. I mean, this show was phenomenal, and he kind of enjoyed playing that role. Like I know he was offered, or they talked about him replacing Letterman when he went to CBS, and you talked about, you know, he never wanted to figure out or how to top himself every single night, but this show kind of gave him that opportunity to kind of be that talk show host, invite great friends and amazing guests on that show, and tell the story of what the egos in Hollywood were really like.
Yeah, he kept getting offered all of the 12:30 slots. And he was very much in contention for Johnny Carson's slot until he took himself out of contention because he was just too tired from doing his Gary Shandling show. So also hosts The Tonight Show a number of weeks a year. But he said he was more interested in the people who make those shows and exploring their lives than he was in interviewing people and asking them what they were up to. He also was very daunted by the idea of taking a job that was very difficult and time-consuming that had no end date. The idea that if you took one of these talk shows, in a way you were committing to that being your creative life almost to the end of your life. That troubled him because I think he just thought, I don't have the energy to do that. And I think he had an instinct that in order to do it, you would have to be insanely creative, you know, to follow in Letterman's footsteps, someone who had innovated those shows and was so hilarious. You'd have to take it to the next level. And I think that he didn't have enough energy or interest in doing that or belief that he could do it. And then Conan came in and he did exactly that.
Yeah, he did.
He was so creative and imaginative, that he elevated it once more.
You know, even with all that success around Larry Sanders, that he still was searching for happiness and really perfection in the show when it was really already that good, that he kind of still struggled with that, you know, all of his life.
Well, you know, the work is always so hard. It doesn't make much sense the way that production was set up. It was difficult because the writers kept changing. You never knew which celebrities would guest star on the show, which meant that it was hard to lock scripts because you just didn't know who would accept the offers to appear. You'd ask somebody, to do it, and then you'd get someone else, and then you have to rewrite the whole script because they were a different person.
Yeah,
and they were shooting 17 pages a day, which was too many pages. You're supposed to shoot like 5 or 6 a day, and at the same time, Gary's expected to rewrite next week's script. And it was just too much. No one has ever had to work as hard as Gary did on a show.
Now, you know, you met him when you were 16, but then years later, you developed a long time, really wonderful personal friendship with Gary. But you also worked for him professionally. You know, as you mentioned, he was hosting the Grammys, and you wrote 100 jokes for him, where he scribbled out and changed a bunch of the punchlines and everything. But you wrote, I think from the second season of the Larry Sanders Show. I mean, your name was all over that show as a writer and producer. But you really got to know him, personally, behind the scenes.
I did. I met him when I was in my early 20s, and at the time he was dating this woman named Linda Doucette, who was later one of the stars of the Larry Sanders Show. And I always felt like I was like a starter child for them. Like I was an experiment in parenting to see how they liked it. That's why they were really, really nice to me in ways I truly didn't understand at the time. They had a lot of affection for me, and I was always so blown away that I was allowed into their world at all. I even went on to buy Gary Shandling's house when he moved out.
Oh, really?
And then I just lived there. So I was definitely living a Gary Shandling life in his footsteps.
Was that the house he never finished? Was it the house he never finished, or was that the new house then?
It was the house before that. You know, he built a house.
Yeah.
And the joke was that he, designed it with architects and then hated the result and lived there and complained for the next 20 years. He would just take you on a tour of why none of the rooms worked.
That's fantastic. And that was director, producer, and writer Judd Apatow on the legacy of comedian Gary Shandling, who left us 5 years ago this week.